Hi guys, welcome to The Hot Desk. This is a new segment on the podcast. We're going to be talking all things society, culture and entertainment. Things that are a little bit lighter. Join me, Rachel J, and my guests as we delve into some fun things, some lighter things and some happenings that are going on in the world. Welcome back to this week's episode of The Hot Desk. This is with my lovely friend, Lola Berry. Lola is a nutritionist, author, voiceover actor, presenter. She does everything. We're picking it up from last week's part one. If you haven't already listened to that one, go back and listen to it. Lola's is in LA at the moment, so we're talking all things Hollywood. It's very exciting. I share some stories. Lola shares some stories. So we're going to pick it up from here, guys. And we're talking about kissing scenes. I'm telling my story about kissing scenes on Neighbours. So let's pick it up. And I've done two on-screen kisses as well on television. So one was on Neighbours and the other one was on a US show that I did. And the Neighbours one, we blocked through all the – so you have rehearsals in Neighbours before you go on set to film. So we had a rehearsal day. We blocked roughly the scene. You don't really – I think in the blocking it's just very rough in terms of main positioning. You don't go in. You don't do any kissing or anything like that. And it's not until the actual takes. So you just go in and you just do it on the take. Yeah.
That is what – so you know Bridgerton?
Yes, the show. I don't watch it, but I know what it is. Yeah.
You know it's known for its steaminess, or season one was known for its steaminess?
No, okay. No, but I don't watch it, so I'm not across it. Yes, tell me.
I'll send you this episode. I interviewed the intimacy coordinator on that show, and one of the steamy scenes is our two lead characters. The girl is like leaning up against a bookshelf and the guy is going down on her in this library. So it's like the library scene is like one of the iconic Bridgerton scenes. And she said, we rehearsed that for 6 weeks, just the intimacy. And she goes down to the breath.
Wow.
So when to inhale, when to exhale, like a caressing of the thigh is like way sexier than the actual act. And that kind of excites me, like finding those intimate moments that are like show such vulnerability, I think is really cool. But she said that what was so cool about that scene was they filmed it in a library. And back in the day, which is when this show's set, women were never allowed to enter this library. So it was a men's only library. And she's like, that made it sexy.
So
like,
that was rebellious in itself.
Yeah. And she's like, there was so many. She's like, often the actual kiss, the actual sex. She's like, it's not really sexy at all. She's like, but the like breathing and the touching, or like when a woman shows the inside of her wrist, or like, you know, it's. That excites me. That to me is like, that could show real intimacy, I think.
Yeah. But I think too, the industry has changed a lot since. So when I did that Neighbours shoot, that was quite a while ago. There were no, this was before the Me Too movement and all that stuff. So there were no intimacy coordinators really that were required on set at the time. It wasn't until sort of the latter part of when I left acting was when that started to become a thing where you actually need to have someone on there. They actually need to verbalize consent between the two actors. What are you comfortable with? What are you not comfortable with? None of that was on set when I was doing my scenes.
Wow. Well, I think they famously say Game of Thrones was the thing that ended it, because Khaleesi had to do all those like full-on sexo scenes and a lot of nudity, and there was no intimacy coordinator to protect. So it's now huge. It's like huge. A very big thing,
Because that's the thing I feel like when I was in Hollywood – well, just in acting in general in the industry in terms of that, that's one thing that I was always conscious of – making sure that I protected myself in terms of what I was willing to do and what I wasn't willing to do. And I know that there was one shoot, a role that I booked. I did the audition. There was no mention of – I knew that I had to kiss the other actor, but there was no mention of anything further than that. After I'd booked the role and I'd met with the director, they wanted to – they'd got, I think, greenlit from one of the studios that they could go a bit raunchier. A bit more HBO style. So they wanted to add in more to this scene. And I had this meeting with the director and I was like, when I auditioned for the role, this was what the role was. And I don't actually think that adding more of that is going to add anything. It's just gratuitous at this point in terms of adding it for the sake of adding it in. And also I think any creative, but especially actors and anyone in the entertainment industry, your power is to say no to certain things. And I had to be really clear that if they wanted that, that they should get another actor to do it.
And what ended up happening?
They left the scene as it was and they didn't change it. Because I didn't want – the other thing you get as well is if you're going to do any kind of partial nudity, anything like that, you have to sign a disclaimer as well. So you will agree with production as to what exact parts of your body you're willing to show in, you know, and you have a patch here or you have a patch there or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I was very adamant that I didn't want to do any even partial nudity. And so you have to be you just need to be switched on and just be really careful. Because I think too, Hollywood, I don't know, is notorious for that. And I don't know if you've heard lots of stories about, you know, girls being propositioned and whatnot and all that kind of stuff. But as a woman, especially in Hollywood or in the media and entertainment industry, I've always felt like you've got to almost be your own protector. You need to watch out for yourself, you know, really be careful.
I've never heard any stories like that, like other than obviously like Me Too and whatnot. I've never heard of any, like, as maybe because I'm coming into it older as well. And so I don't know, but I've never heard any, like, sounds like you've had to be really ballsy.
Yeah, I'll tell you a story. This will probably be one of my Hollywood horror stories. And when I first went to LA, I was quite young. So I was in my early 20s, right? And I went there alone. And so I didn't have my partner with me. Well, my partner at the time. Mm. One of the first stints that I went out there, I was doing meetings or taking meetings with management companies. So, and you would know when you first go out there, you need to get a manager or theatrical agent or something like that. So I was taking all these meetings. I got a meeting with one agent at one of the top five. I don't know if it's like this anymore in Hollywood, but there used to be the top five Hollywood agencies. And so this agent was at one of these big agencies. So we had a meeting. And again, I think, I don't know if, I felt like this was probably quite normal. We take a lot of meetings in hotel lobbies and things. That's just kind of very LA.
Yeah, that's normal.
Hotel lobbies, hotel bars, you know. So we had this meeting. It was probably in the evening around 5, 6 o'clock. I rock up to this meeting. I rock up in my shitty car, my shitty car, and then take this meeting with this guy. He sits down. We're in this little booth in the bar and we're chatting about my career, what I've done in Australia. And at some point, and I don't even know the actual words that he used, but he was like, basically, if you come home with me, I will represent you. They're not the exact words, but that was the implication.
No. Right?
And so I literally felt myself floating up out of my body, almost like watching this scene unfold. And I'm just thinking to myself, what the F is happening? Rach, you need to get out. Like, you need to get out of here. Because it felt very, I felt very unsafe, obviously. Mm. And so, you know, I was polite, finished the meeting. And, you know, we talked about headshots and something or other. And he said he'd get his assistant to send blah, blah, blah over. Anyway, shook hands and left. And then I literally was driving home going, did that just effing happen? You know, it's those stories that I'd heard about. I mean, I feel like I'd heard about it, not anyone personally that I knew. And then I called one of my friends who was there as well, my friend Damo, and I was like, this just happened. And he's like, oh yeah, I've heard of that happening to a lot of actresses out here. And then he was like, and one of my friends, and da, da, da. And I'm like, so this happens a lot. Like, and imagine all the girls that would have just been like, yeah, okay. Oh, I want to be, you know, like if you don't have a strong head on your shoulders, or I don't know, I just feel like how many girls would be like, yeah, I want to be repped by a big agent.
No way. Have you seen the TV show Barry?
Yes, I have.
There's a girl there that she ignores advances of an agent and he drops her straight away. Like a hot potato.
Yeah.
But I thought that was just like urban myth. Obviously, because of everything we've learned from Me Too, it wasn't a myth. But like, yeah, that is wild.
Yeah.
That has never, I think also like, I forget that coming into it older, like I've got a whole different career behind me and a whole different career where I've had to be ballsy in different ways and like hold my worth in different ways and sit in big meetings and stop myself getting fucked over in other ways, like in financial ways a lot. And so you kind of learn that resilience in a different way, but like never anything like that ever.
Yeah. It's pretty scary, but it's good that you're coming into it now, I think, as well, because you've got all of that life experience behind you. I mean, I think you do need to have a good head on your shoulders when you do go to LA. I don't know if you agree with this, but I feel like if you go to LA and you're not pretty solid in yourself, you can really get taken by that city. That city is like, there's all different parts of LA, right? And you can find little pockets, but if you are not solid in who you are, I can imagine if you are. And not to say that we don't all have insecurities and we don't have self-doubt and all those things, but you really do need to be quite grounded in who you are, because you can easily get taken into these little pockets and nooks of LA if you don't have a strong head on your shoulders. And a lot of actors have done, you know, they go there for acting and then it's just partied. Like that's all they do. Yeah, you know what I mean? That's one example. Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard the myth of like the $10,000 week that like you come over, hire a like Ferrari and party every night and be out and seeing stars and stuff. I've never been like, even when I used to come here and just like go on TV shows when I was younger and just do it all for free because I wasn't working over here or anything like that. And I've just like literally work my butt off, exercise every day, get, you know, I just like lived the life that I just dreamed of living over here. So like, I know that that exists, like that party town for LA, but I've never bought into it ever. Even when I used to come here in my like early mid 20s, I never bought into that. So yeah, I think you got to come here with a bit of a nouse and know what you want and why you're here and like what is important to you. I think that's a really like important. And I think like having really good mental health, like we touched on at the start, is just like, so then you have a really good barometer of like, this feels really good for me, this doesn't feel good for me, or I'm not going to do that for this month, I'm going to focus on this for this month, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think like you choose the experience that you have. Like you love all those cool places to go, and which I used to love too, is all the healthy places to eat and like all those fun things that LA has aside from all the party.
And I teach yoga here. So I literally am a yoga teacher. Yeah. So like you're constantly amongst wellness if you're teaching yoga and you're like spending that money at a health food store. So I'm very much in that like more health and wellness space. And like even Matt and I have got an influencer event on the weekend and it's like a big launch for that Barry's Bootcamp company.
Oh, you know,
like
that'll be amazing. Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah, so I just think like I've definitely like even the PR companies with all my influencing stuff are like, yep, she's in the health realm. And so it's been nice to kind of like just come in straight away in that area. Like the only time I think I went out for a few dinners last time I was here was like to celebrate friends, like if they had a win. And then like influencer events, like I'm also not like a big drinker or partier. And also like it's so expensive here. Like it's so expensive. You're tipping 20%. And I'm like, I'd rather spend that money if I'm going to at a really yummy salad at Air One or one of my favorite restaurants that does healthy food and I'm going to feel good for it after and, you know, time it in with a hike or a matcha or, you know what I mean? Like I'm just that person that would rather. Also like I think as a creative and as an actor and as a TV presenter, which is also what I do, I just think my currency is my health. Like I want to feel 100%. Healthy. Yeah. So yeah. I'm very much in the LA health era.
Health realm. No, I love that. I feel like, I'm the same as you, I think. I've definitely done some great parties, but I'm not a big drinker. It's like just for events and stuff like that when you go and it's like a one-off here and there.
Yeah. And like, I've never called myself a non-drinker, but like last time I had a drink was probably 2 or 3 months. Like I just don't drink much. And especially when I'm feeling slightly anxious and stressed, like apart from acting school and stuff like that, I'm like, well, what's the point? I'm going to lose a day of feeling a bit inflamed and stuff. So I'd much rather, I said to Matt, I said, when we like find our apartment, I'm like, and, you know, we've had a week or two in there, like, let's have a really yummy dinner out somewhere and have a vino and, you know, like make a night of it.
Yeah, a little bit of a celebration. What have have you got some highlights of Hollywood, like not just this trip but just in general? What's been like your favourite moment or favourite experience of being there?
One of my best career moments was last trip, and I'd been working my butt off to get an agent. You know how you touched on it before, it's really hard, and you can have like managers and then you can have a theatrical agent, which – as you know, is when you're auditioning for, it's not for theater, it's for TV and film. And then you've got commercial, and then you've got voiceover. And then obviously like I do presenting, and then I do influencing. So there are all these realms that you kind of cover. And I remember last year, I really wanted this voice agent because I do a lot of voice training when I'm here. Mm. I love it. It's so much fun. It's way less scary than acting school. I tell you that much. Don't need to kiss anyone, I'll tell you that much.
No.
And if you do, you get to be like an eight-year-old kid as a monster, like making like sounds. It's so much fun. Like it's like being an eight-year-old kid. It's the best. And like I remember I did one voice acting class, and we spent the whole class learning how to make different sounds of as if you're going to die on a video game. It was like, like that was the whole class. It's called efforts. And I was like, oh my God, this is the best. So I do love voice acting as well so much. So I usually alternate. I'll do like an acting class, then I'll take a month off acting and do voice acting for a month. Yeah. And I'll kind of like, because voice acting is very similar to improv. Like you don't get the script until you rock up, and they put you in a booth straight away, and they'll like let you just fumble and fail. And because it's improv based, I get to say my Aussie accent, and it's so much fun. Anyway, I really wanted this voice agent, and I had done a lot of VO training over the year before, and I was like, oh, I really want this voice agent. I don't know how I'm going to get them. Anyway, and I emailed like, honestly, Rach, 50 LA-based voice agents. And I was like, you know, I don't care if the acting doesn't take off straight away. Like I want to be in an animation. Like I was just so excited about it. And I got to LA about the same amount of time. I've been there 2 weeks, and not one person responded. Zero, like no response. So I didn't know that basically you need an intro to get any kind of management here. It's not, they won't touch you cold. Like, and it's very similar in Australia now. Like you kind of need somebody to be like, hey, I think you should take a look at my friend.
Yeah.
Anyway, and I'm not good at asking for help. I'm like, I'm not as confident as I sound. Anyway, I got connected a friend, a voice actor friend, and we just got connected and via a mutual friend, which you've kind of just done for me with an upcoming guest.
It's gonna be so exciting.
I'm so pumped. And but it was the same thing. A mutual friend connected me with this really talented voice actor and actor, but like I really wanted to pick his brain about voice. And he'd done like Disney princes, like done all this incredible work. And he's like, oh, why don't I just introduce you to my agent? And it was the top voice agent valet. And I was like, oh, I'd love that, but they've ignored my emails from earlier in the year. And he's like, no, it's all right, I'll have a chat, let me just have a chat. And I thought nothing of it. I get a text from him about 3 days later, and he's like, yeah, he'd love to meet you on Zoom. And I was like, okay, thought nothing of it. They then sent me sides, so sides are scripts, and they sent me 3 scripts that I had to do in American accent and Australian. And then they came back to me about 6 weeks later. They were like, listen, the strike has really like put a hold on things, like, you know, stay in touch, but, you know, we want to see, we'll chat to you in 6 weeks. So I waited, I'd put all this, I'd treated it like the Oscars, you know, like I was so excited. I got my dialect coach to teach me all these auditions, because they sent me scripts from commercials. Like I had to do a McDonald's ad, a Target ad, and a kid's toy. And I worked with my dialect coach and all the American side. Like I put so much work into it. I waited 6 weeks. I hear back to them, and they're like, yeah, we'd like to have another meeting with you, but this time with our on-camera commercial team. And I was like, fucking hell, nothing's going to come of this. Like it's been 6 weeks. Like, so I sit there in the meeting room. I get an email, and they're like, and you know when you're in Zoom waiting room, especially as an actor as well, you know, it's the callback. You're like, ugh, so nerve-wracking. So I was reading my notes from acting school about like just be curious, just be yourself, like all this kind of stuff. And they came online and they started asking me stuff, like really personal questions as well. They were like, oh, you know, do you want kids? And I was like, we've frozen embryos, like all this kind of stuff, like off topic stuff. Anyway, and they go, so why are you here? And I was like, I've got nothing to lose, right? Mm. I was like, they're probably not going to sign. By the stage, I'd fully let go. And I just looked at them and I was like, oh, this is a really Australian thing to say, but I'm not here to fuck spiders. And they just all burst out laughing. And I was like, I know that's like a really weird thing to say. Anyway, and that like we had a great chat and we were laughing and talking about career goals and all this. Meanwhile, I had just booked Wanderlust Festival in Australia. So I knew a week later I was flying to Australia for like 5 months. So I was like, even if these guys signed me, like, thought nothing of it. And an hour later my phone rings and they're like, Lola. And I'm like, hey, how are you? And he's like, look, I just wanted to say we're not here to fuck spiders, so we'd love to sign you. So it was a nice,
oh,
like,
that's so cool.
Of like just being yourself essentially is the key to success, especially I think that's like we've talked about Hollywood horror stories, but I think Hollywood highlights are like
highlights,
people
yeah.
love celebrating you, like yeah. the essence of who you are.
Yes.
And like you don't need to be anyone other than yourself. And that's what I really, really like about all of it, about like the training here is brutal. It's harder, I think, in many yes. ways. It's hard in Australia for different reasons, but it's here it is like they want to see you fall and fail and grow and rebuild. Like that's celebrated here. Whereas in Australia, once you find a good teacher, you kind of roll with them. Same here, but like it is different. It definitely is different. So anyway, that was a Hollywood highlight.
I love that highlight. That is so cool and so LA of him to what he said on the phone. That is such an LA thing to say.
Yeah, quote it back to you.
But you know
yeah.
what? Your accent, lols, I feel like we might have done, I think in the last pod ep, we did a little reel, but your accent's sounding awesome.
Do you yes, reckon accent. I haven't done yeah. any dialect work? I stay in, because this class is Meisner, I stay in my Aussie because you kind of got to be in the moment and I haven't
yes.
put anything up. And the audition I did today, they sent it to me and they're like, we welcome natural accents. And I said to Matt, we're putting this up Aussie. Like it is an in-depth, vulnerable like audition. Mm. And so I just put up straight Aussie. I didn't even put up an Americana because I think also like, although it feels good, like also I think to an Australian actor when they come over here, just by hearing the accent, you will hear it so much. Like it's so much easier to like flick over and just all of a sudden just be talking in an American accent because you hear it. So you're constantly absorbed and around it. But I've been yeah. in acting classes here where they do not let you use your natural accent ever. Even yeah. when you're asking a question and feedback and, you know, yeah, it's kind of, wow. it's hard when you've got like a vulnerable question or an intimate question or you want to work through a problem. They're like, nope, stay in American accent or we won't answer. And I'm like, oh my God, like, fuck. So yeah. I kind of like staying in my own accent for as that real exploratory phase.
Yeah. I mean, I think I did the same as well, but it's, yeah, your accent sounds so good. It's
oh, really,
really
good. Oh.
Yeah, it does. It really does. I used to, when I was there, I used to get to practice the accent. I'd go to grocery stores and I
you
would,
said,
yeah, yeah, I would just be American and I would, mm. and then no one would even know you were Australian.
Heaps but, of actors do that. And the, yeah. we were told to do that. We were like, you need to stay in American accent. For the whole month of this class, you have to go to Trader Joe's in an American accent. You have to order your coffee in an American accent. You cannot, they were like, you cannot ring home and hear an Australian accent. And I talked to my dialect coach and he was like, that's a bit much. He was like, let's run the dialect in a safe space here and run the scene together here. So I kind of, I trust my dialect coach and I've worked with him for 7 years. So I just keep going back to him anytime I get like, a big script that I want to put up in an American accent.
Yeah. I do feel what you said before about feeling like, I guess people celebrate you over there. I really love that about LA. And mm. there is a real difference compared to Australia. I feel like you can literally go to LA and be whoever you want. No one really gives a shit. No one cares.
Oh, yeah.
I feel there's a lot more constraints in Australia in terms of, I don't know, it's not explicitly said, but I definitely have felt, you feel certain, I don't know, there's a certain expectation or something like that. I don't know how to describe it. Did you feel that too, or?
Yeah. You can be anything you want here and it'll be completely celebrated. A really good example is I think I told you this when we were voice memoing. It was so hard for me to get an Australian acting agent because they're like, no, you're the nutritionist wellness girl.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's what I have been. But like, I've now spent 7 years training as an actor. Like, I'm ready to have an agent. Like, and I was just hitting so many brick walls, like, and big agents, like, usually the big agents would respond, the really good Australian acting agents. That so many middle tier ones just never even responded to my emails.
Mm.
And there was one agent, a really big one in Australia. This is an Australian horror story.
Oh, okay.
Which I know I want to tell because I want people to know that it can be hard and shit. And there was this one agent that was like my goal Australian agent, like top, you know, like on my manifesto board. And I fought so hard to get an intro, which you know is hard. Like, and so I had a friend and she was like, I spoke to my agent. She said, just email her direct. I was like, no, you need to intro me because that is the key. And so anyway, she introed me. It was like pulling teeth. I was used all my confidence to ask that. And the agent said, yeah, great. Send me through some stuff. And I said, great. So I literally booked in with my dialect coach. I booked in with my scene coach, so Ian, and I worked on three scenes in American dialect and in Australian dialect. And I spent money. I flew to Melbourne to train and then I put them all on tape for her. This is all in the space of 3 days. So she sent me an email on the Friday. By Monday morning, she had all new six tapes. And like I said, I got a dialect coach. I then also did a private with my teacher. And, my teacher was like, yeah, she's great. You're in safe hands. Never responded to this day to that email. And I followed up kind of like once every 6 weeks. I'd just be like, hey, do you want anything else? I do new headshots. Hey, here's new headshots. Da, da, da. Oh, hey, I just did this big campaign, like everything. And that would have now been 7 months ago to this day, no response. And I'm like, that's just bad business. Like what happens when we're at the Actor Awards one day and you're pitching an artist to me and I'm producing a movie or TV show? I'm like, I just need to go back and look at our email history and I'll see that you were an absolute dingo.
Yeah,
consistently didn't respond too. Yeah. And it's just like, oh, like it's one, and it's hard as well because imposter syndrome then kicks in and you're like, well, maybe I just can't act. Like that's naturally what we think in these scenarios. And it's like, no, these people, and that was a big Australian agent.
Yeah. Well, I feel like at the very least they could have even said, oh, for whatever reason, we're just not interested or we've got full books or whatever.
Totally. So I wrote to all the big dogs. There's about five biggies in Australia. I wrote to all the big dogs. And then one was so beautiful to me. And she wrote to me and she's like, I have absolutely loved watching your career. I have pitched you to the gang. Unfortunately, they're not going to take you on, but I want you to know I will always be celebrating your career. And I was like, oh,
that's lovely.
What a beautiful rejection letter by an arguably even bigger rep. And I'm just like, it's not hard to be kind. And I think in Australia, because it's so competitive, we have a fear-based mentality sometimes. Mm. They can kind of like, that was a horrible agent story. And also, like, I'm someone that's worked my absolute behind off in training and in like the business side of it as well. And I'm just like, no, you don't need to be a dick. Don't be a dick.
Yeah. That's the lesson. Don't be a dick with anything, with anybody.
Yeah.
All your interactions. Yeah. Well, amazing. I feel like we have to wrap it up, Lols, because otherwise we'll go on for hours and you'll miss your acting class.
I know. I have to, after we hit stop record though, let me know so I can take a little photo of behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah. We will. No, I won't hang up. Sorry, no, I'm gonna keep it running. This is just us, housekeeping podcast stuff. Well, thanks so much for joining me on the hot desk. This is the new segment of the pod, and I wanted to get a bit lighter and talk about some fun things rather than heavier, serious stuff. So
we ended up talking about here serious stuff.
I know. I feel like I don't know if it's just a me thing, but it's like still light stuff. It's not too heavy.
It's just topical. It's just topical to the person you're interviewing. It's fine.
Yeah.
Really good. I loved it.
I've loved it. So thanks so much for listening, guys. We're going to be doing these episodes. So let us know if there's any questions or topics or anything that you want to hear on the Hot Desk.
And to the listener, thank you so, so much for listening and for like supporting the LA journey. You know, it's so nice to be able to share it with people. So thank you.
Yeah, we'll throw up all of Lol's links as well. Obviously, Lol's hosts her own podcast called Fearlessly Failing. So if you want to hear more, because you do LA Diaries as well and interview a lot of actors and creatives. So check out Lol's pod and we'll pop up her Instagram, socials, all that kind of stuff so you can follow along and see what she gets up to in LA.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Fingers crossed.